Have you heard of the Bereans? According to the Apostle Paul, they were noble-minded because they neither accepted nor rejected his message until they had first checked it against the scriptures to see if it was really true. Welcome to Truth Matters with Sean Finnegan. Our aim here at Truth Matters is to be as the Bereans each week by interviewing guest speakers and investigating topics, testing them against the scriptures to discover truth and shed falsehood. And now, here is your host, Sean Finnegan.
Hello and welcome to Truth Matters. I'm your host, Sean Finnegan, and for the next half hour, we are going to be investigating the topic of the gospel of the kingdom. My guest today is Sir Anthony Buzzard. He was born in Surrey, England, and educated at Oxford University and later at Bethany Theological Seminary in Chicago. He holds master's degrees in both languages and theology, and he came to the USA with his wife and daughters in 1981 and has taught the New Testament at Atlanta Bible College since then. He has written a number of books, including The Coming Kingdom of the Messiah and Our Fathers Who Aren't in Heaven. Pretty interesting title there. Welcome to the show, Anthony.
Nice to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
I should also mention that Anthony was one of my professors when I attended the Atlanta Bible College, so we have a student-teacher relationship. So I may revert to that in our conversation, but hopefully we'll do all right. Today we're talking about the gospel of the kingdom, and before we really delve into that subject, I wanted to hear, especially for our listeners, your spiritual journey. What got you interested in the Bible in the first place?
Yeah, that's an interesting question for me, and it's fun to talk about. I was at Oxford University in 1956, a few years ago now, and having been in the Church of England, I think Americans may find this difficult to understand, but we didn't do Bible in the Church of England. We sang hymns, and it was a pleasant experience, but we didn't engage biblical topics at all in those days. So when I went to Oxford, somebody invited me to go to a, quote, get saved meeting, and I went forward, and I remember thinking that I wanted to commit myself to Christ, but at the same time, I'd begun to read the Bible, and I was so impressed with the Old Testament prophets and their vision of hope for the future of the world. And so my dad happened to be involved with the World Council of Churches and solving the Middle East problem, the Arabs and the Jews. So our whole life revolved now around world problems. You know, how are we going to solve this problem? And I saw the prophets, and I'll be very brief here, Isaiah 2, they were beating their swords into plowshares in this marvelous vision of the prophet Isaiah. And that really gripped my heart. I thought that would be so wonderful. I would love to see people not kill each other anymore.
Those problems haven't gone away, have they? I mean,
they have not gone away. So the kingdom is very much something that we're still praying for, thy kingdom come, and hoping for. But that was my introduction to the Bible, and the rest really is history. From that, you know, an intense study of the Bible over the last 40, 50 years or so.
Right. So in your studies, you came across this this gospel stuff. Now, in your own words, what would you say is the standard gospel that most evangelical Christians are familiar with?
Yeah, and that's well advertised in America, isn't it? On the internet, on television, radio, and so on. No question about that. If you ask what the gospel is of an average churchgoer in America, you would be told, well, Jesus died for your sins and rose.
Right. So the gospel is cross-centered. And
very much so. I think it begins and almost ends. Sometimes the only text that's used is 1 Corinthians 15, where Paul does speak of the death and burial and resurrection of Christ as part of the gospel and not the whole gospel. But that's been taken by evangelicals often to be the entirety of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus.
Right. So the gospel, as we're familiar with it in most Christian circles, is that Jesus died for our sins. And
yes.
But
absolutely.
You know, how does this interact with Jesus that we see in the gospels? What is he on about in the gospels?
Yeah, I think that's the most interesting question that ought to be engaged over coffee tables in every possible place, because the fact is, and people are not aware of this, that when Jesus preached the gospel, and he did, he's always said to be preaching the gospel, he's not talking about his death and resurrection at all. Now, that to me is a startling fact that needs to be tackled by all seekers of truth. But clearly, Jesus is preaching the gospel. But he's not saying at that stage anything about his death and resurrection. And when he does say that privately, not publicly, but privately, in the last third of his ministry, they didn't even believe it.
Right.
And yet his disciples had also been preaching the gospel. I think the logical point here, Sean, which is to me so interesting, clearly there's more to the gospel than the death and resurrection of Jesus. Otherwise, we would have to say that Jesus did not preach the gospel, because he clearly was not talking about his death and resurrection as gospel.
Of course, we do believe that the gospel includes his death for our sins.
Absolutely.
And his resurrection.
Let's be absolutely clear. Yes, absolutely.
Right. So we're not saying that's not the gospel, but are saying it's more than that.
We're saying that there's 30 chapters, if you add up the chapters in which Jesus' ministry is described, the historical Jesus, there are 30 chapters in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, in which clearly he's an itinerant, tireless itinerant.